Arena Podcast. And if you want to contact us, you can contact us through Twitter at The Arena Ireland or by email thearenaireland@gmail.com. On today's programme, we're going to discuss the Greek referendum. What does this mean for the future of the Eurozone and the European Union project? And later on, I'll be speaking with PR consultant John McGurk. But first up, I'm joined by Johnny Fallon, who is the Southern editor of SluggerO'Toole.com. Johnny, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, John.
Okay, it's going to be a very interesting weekend. We've got the referendum in Greece, which is going to take place on Sunday, and we'll have results probably in the early hours of Monday morning. How do you think things are going to go now, Johnny? What do you see the lay of the land is at the moment? There's a lot of talk that there's a bit of a split of the vote between yes and no. How do you think it's going to pan out?
Yeah, it's very difficult to predict because the polls seem to be quite unreliable at the moment. Seem to be in favour of no, and then those other polls seem to be coming out suggesting it's narrowing or that yes is going ahead. So I think there's a difficulty in getting good, solid information out of Greece right now, but it's probably going to be a relatively close-run thing. One would expect that with the government backing a no vote, and the fact that that would seem to be, let's say, the more popular argument, that the no side should have a strong advantage. The government have been pushing the line this week that they have a deal in place if there's a no vote. If people buy that, then I think the no vote should win out. The danger for them is, of course, that people have for the last week been living with these limits where you can only get €60 out of your ATM machine per day. Now, there are those of us here in Ireland who probably would love if we could take out €60 a day or had it in our accounts to take out, but we don't have it there. But I think with those limits, with that kind of pressure on people, that may focus the mind as well, and that's going to create some pressures and perhaps swing it towards a yes vote either.
Now, I looked at the wording for the referendum, and it is quite confusing. Do the Greek people know actually what they're actually voting for?
Yeah, this is one of the big things that's been talked about. The referendum wording is incredibly confusing. Indeed, one could argue that nobody is really sure what it's about. It seems to be more a case of a negotiating and a bargaining position. Now, to my mind, I think Syriza actually got into a bit of a pickle with the EU. They weren't sure what the next steps were. They were worried about the idea of default, and somebody came up with a brainwave that if we do have to default, we don't want to take the blame for it. So therefore, put out a referendum, and if the people decide that they are going to reject the EU's plan and we default, then it's the people that have decided to default, not just the government. And I think that's a clever strategy. It's a good political manoeuvre, and it places the EU in an awkward position. The danger, of course, with it is that I think as the week has gone on, there seems to be a lot of division within Syriza itself. I think there are some figures who seem to be pushing for a deal, pushing to come to some conclusion, and aren't all that eager to go down the road of default. And that's made a very confusing mess for people. So I think most Greek people, if you're in it, we can only imagine the kind of state of panic that is in Greece when you're facing these kind of capital controls in your banks, you're worried about your pensions collapsing, you're worried about money for jobs, or if you're going to be paid, all of that. And then to try take on a very confusing referendum, most people, it's going to be a question of who do you trust? Do you trust the guys in government or do you not? And that's the big question.
Now, what are we likely to see happen if there is a no vote? Because we've seen tough posturing by Angela Merkel and the German government, really, that, you know, isn't letting up. And there seems to be a consensus amongst the powers that be in Germany. They want Syriza out of government, which seems to be a very strange democratic move to try to displace a democratically elected government.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always this kind of thing within Europe that, you know, when people start having arguments, it's a political thing too. When people start having arguments, the first thing you think of is, well, I wish if something bad happened to my opponent, that makes it easier for me. And at the moment, that's the way it's kind of panning out. And that's not unusual. It's this kind of desire that, well, if Syriza were gone, maybe we'd get somebody else who were more sensible in, who would deal with it. Of course, that rarely works out that way either. Look, the Germans have a bit of an issue here, because while everybody is talking about, you know, how great a democratic move this is to be letting the Greek people talk, at home in Germany, Angela Merkel knows if a deal had been on the table and there was some debt relief offered to Greece and Angela Merkel walked out of the negotiations and said, well, hold on, before I agree to any debt relief for Greece, this has to go to a referendum in Germany. The German taxpayers have to decide if they're willing to give this. There would be uproar across Europe that the Germans were holding everything up, having a referendum, deciding the future of Greece by a public vote, and Angela Merkel would be considered weak and ineffective as a leader by not deciding it. So she's in a bit of a situation where she feels, I think, that this is awkward or unfair on her and on Germany. If there's a no vote, it's very difficult to see how, you know, the Syriza have said quite clearly today that they have had talks this week. They're going to have a deal. Even if there's a no vote, it's going to be an even better deal for them. They're going to get debt relief. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Europe is going to immediately capitulate if they do. I think if it's a no vote, I think Europe is going to look at them and say, right, well, then you're deciding to head down the road of default, and the only negotiation that will be to see can Europe regain some of the money it's going to lose in the default, but that's about it.
And what do you think will happen now? Is there a possibility that if there's a no vote, that it gives Syriza and the government there a chance to renegotiate for debt write-down or debt relief?
Well, I think the only way I could see it happening that they would get some kind of, you know, talk about some kind of debt relief is, of course, that if it's a no vote and if the Greeks were to walk out of Europe or be gone from Europe, then, of course, countries like Germany who have will lose, I think it's in the region of about 60 billion or something, they're going to lose, some crazy figures, they're going to lose if Greece goes out. So there would be, let's say, some argument that Germany should at least try to recover some of that. But even in that context, I don't think that could be a kind of deal of, well, you can stay in the euro, you can stay here, and we'll just cut you a new deal. Because the knock-on effects would be that for Spain, for Italy, for even Ireland, every other country should follow suit, which Europe can't afford. I think what you might see, if it's a no vote, is some kind of deal being struck where Greece eases its way out rather than goes into an immediate default, and there's some recovery of money or some kind of halfway house status found for Greece that maybe wasn't on the table before.
And Johnny, hasn't this shown the EU and the Eurozone to be a bit of a basket case? The whole way that there's not even a mechanism in place for leaving the Eurozone.
Yeah, look, at Europe has the problem for the euro is that, you know, it was designed and created without ever seeing an eventuality like this. You know, they expected, the euro grew out of, let's say, things like the currency crisis in the early 90s, where we tried to peg currencies to each other, tried to have them at regular rates, but it didn't work. Speculators came in, they destroyed each currency, particularly small currencies like Ireland, easy pickings for them. And we continually were having to do things like look at devaluing just because speculators felt that was what they wanted and could make a quick buck. Now we decided, well, let's get a currency together. But when we decided to do that currency, it had its faults. European leaders, banks, economists, they were all well aware of the faults, but they felt they could overcome them. What they didn't see was at the scale of this crisis. They never believed that something that was the equivalent of what happened in the Great Depression in the 30s was going to occur so quickly and so suddenly. And of course, the euro wasn't designed for it. What you do have now is a situation where really Germany is the bulwark here. The Germans are the economy that has the strength and has the power and has the money to keep all this going. And of course, Germany likes the euro. It likes the euro for one of the reasons it hides German economic strength. If people actually realised Germany was on its own, back to a Deutschmark, it would be an even more powerful economy. And the Germans aren't all that eager to show that kind of power to the world. It gets them in trouble when they do, so they don't really want to go down that road. They like having this union of nations around them.
And what could happen next? Because let's say Greece is gone from the Eurozone, possibly gone from the European Union. What happens to the likes of Italy and Spain who have serious problems themselves?
Well, of course, there's a few eventualities we've got to consider. One is that, of course, the Greeks could still vote yes, in which case there are problems for Syriza, and there are problems.
It's more than problems for Syriza, Johnny. Like they would have to go to the country again, wouldn't they? And it would surely be the end of Cyprus and probably some of the other ministers.
It would look that way because they would look to have lost the confidence. They've tried to say they wouldn't, but it would be a serious.
I think the finance minister said that he would resign if it was a yes vote.
Yeah, I think it, you know, it would undermine everything they've stood for, and that would be a huge rejection of them. So yeah, that would create problems. That's if there was a yes vote. If there's a no vote, And then it moves to a situation where Greece is edging out of the Eurozone. That's where they, in order to stop contagion, the EU would then have to prove that Greece is different to other economies, and the problems were structural and deeper than what would be encountered in Spain and in Italy. I think there's some argument that they may just about be able to do that, and Germany would have to come in very quickly, you know, to say, look, we're not going to let this happen, we're not going to let other countries go. But what would happen most interestingly would be the internal politics. Spain is the next up for elections. Podemos, the party there that has, similar to Syriza, talked a lot about defaulting and being anti-euro and all those kind of things. If Podemos were to, you know, I think a lot of Spanish people would be watching what happens Greece when it defaults, because there's been this kind of feeling that defaulting would somehow be less painful than austerity. And there's always this line that if you default, at least you've reached the bottom, start all over again. People will be looking to see, is that the case? Or is it the case of what others have said, that no, it gets a lot worse once you default, and things, you know, there's a lot further you can fall, and it'll take you longer to recover. That's another argument. And I think in Spain and in Italy, voters will be watching that. And if they see very big problems for Greece as a result of a default, they may rethink their strategies. And that's what Germany, France, and other EU countries have to hope if they want to keep the euro together.
Finally, Johnny, you wrote in Sugar O'Toole during the week about how Ireland could have stepped in here, could have been the one to negotiate, to you know, help the situation. You would think that it would make a little bit of sense. We've gone through a lot of problems ourselves. You think that, you know, with another smaller European country, we should have solidarity with them. Do you think the Irish government missed an opportunity here to come across as someone who could, you know, be there to support or give advice to the Greek people?
Yeah, definitely. For me, that was, you know, something that we really missed out on. The end of this week, we saw France coming in saying, look, you know, we're going to try and negotiate right up until the end. There's a tradition in the EU, a tradition that Ireland has always held. Ireland has always been a bit of a broker within the EU, be it on agriculture deals, on structural fund deals, anything like that. Ireland has tended to be this halfway house broker between countries, bringing blocks of countries together.
Why not this time, do you think, Johnny?
Well, I think Ireland has lost a little bit of its reputation. Like, at the time the European Constitution was being devised and all, Ireland has always had this great reputation for being, you know, chairing things and doing it. I think this time we got in a bit of a panic. We thought, you know, look, we've become, since the crisis started, there was this line that Ireland is not Greece, which was devised in order to try and put distance between ourselves and the Greek economy. And we seem to have followed that. And rather than kind of sitting down and saying, look, you see, in Europe, there's a problem with France being an honest broker because they're too big. Mm. They're a big, powerful nation, and everybody knows that. Smaller country like Ireland, which was ideally placed, Germany knows Ireland has taken the pain. Ireland is seen as a good boy. That's a positive for us, right? It's a positive for Germany. It's a positive for the big country. But smaller countries know that Ireland is also looking for better deals, better terms, and needs to grow at a much faster rate. So we could have been neatly placed between them to say, look, can we help strike a deal here? Because the one thing that's missing in Europe right now is trust. No country trusts the other. Germany doesn't trust the smaller countries like Greece. Countries like Greece definitely don't trust Germany. Ireland should have been in that position. But I think we got ourselves into a spot where we were so eager to prove that we are out of trouble, we're growing, we're better, that we immediately run to lecture the Greeks, when instead we should have kept cards close to our chest and said, look, both sides have a point here. We don't need to be having this war in the media. We actually didn't benefit Germany by going out and attacking the Greeks. That doesn't help Germany at all. Germany doesn't need the support of a country like Ireland for what it's doing. Germany would like a country that's useful to it, that perhaps could have brokered a deal or got the Greeks on side or got their trust and was able to say, right, we know what the bottom line is here. And I think we missed it because we were so eager to run in and prove that we're not Greece. And you know, sometimes you think you've got to hold your hands up and say, look, we are all in the same boat here.
Yeah. Finally, how do you think the vote's going to go? What's your prediction, Johnny?
I'm going to go with a very small victory for the no side. I think the fact that the government are pushing this line that they have a deal now, one would expect that the Greek people will go with that, but I think it will be very, very close.
Okay, Johnny Fallon, editor, Southern editor of SluggerO'Toole.com, thanks for joining us on the programme today. If you want to contact us, you can get us on Twitter at The Arena Ireland or email thearenaireland@gmail.com. Well, we're continuing our discussion ahead of the Greek referendum, which takes place this Sunday. We've got reports coming in at the moment that there's actually rioting going on in the streets of Athens at the moment, where an estimated 20,000 yes supporters and 25,000 no supporters are out on the streets, and there seems to be severe tensions in Athens this evening. To discuss more about Greece and what is likely to happen next, I'm joined on the line now by PR consultant John McGurk. John, you're welcome to the programme.
Evening, John. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, how do you think things are going to pan out? We're just hearing reports coming in that there's rioting going on in Greece, and there's a mass demonstration by proponents of the yes and no side.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised by that, first of all. I mean, you have a situation where people with, it doesn't matter how much money they have in their bank accounts, they can only take out 60 euro at any given time. That is going to make people nervous, and that's going to make people very, very angry. At the end of the day, it's not the bank's money in their eyes, it's their own money that they suddenly can't get access to. So tensions are going to rise, and we've seen that happen. And now you have a situation where you have a referendum on Sunday, where I don't think anybody knows what the consequences of a vote either way will be. So, I mean, the degree of tension that we're seeing doesn't surprise me at all, John. The outcome, and the prognosis out here is that it's only going to get worse.
I spoke a little bit earlier on with Johnny Fallon about what the consequences of the vote actually could be. But what are we looking at? Are we looking at, if there's a no vote here, that Greece will be kicked out of the Eurozone, possibly kicked out of the European Union, will have to issue IOUs or return to the drachma?
See, I don't know what Johnny said, but my view on this would be that it's very, very difficult structurally to kick anybody out of the Euro. There's no mechanism for doing it. The only way that could be accomplished really will be a conscious decision by by the European Union, rather, to make Greece's position beyond untenable. But even then, they still technically couldn't force Greece out of the Euro. So, I mean, I think there is very real danger from a no vote here. I don't think it's an immediate procedural danger. I think it's more a danger in that it will entrench Greece's position as a party, will be seen essentially as a rogue state inside the Eurozone, and that when that happens, if you have a rogue state inside the Eurozone who's seen that way by the other member states, and tensions go that high, you have the potential for absolute economic collapse in that country, and contagion could spread. Because, for example, I made this point the other day, there is absolutely nothing theoretically to stop the Greek government from responding to this crisis by ordering the Greek central bank to print off thousands and thousands and millions of euro notes. And that's one potential response that you could see happening down the line, and that ruins the currency for everybody.
Could that happen? Is that a possibility, John? It sounds like an Armageddon situation on economic markets if such a thing happened.
Well, that's exactly my point. I mean, theoretically, the Greek central bank is licensed to print 10 euro notes. Our central bank is licensed to print a certain degree of euro bank notes, because they can't all be printed in one place. I mean, there are institutions in every country licensed to print them. Now, in the event of a major political break between the European Union and Greece, a potential situation where you have a rogue Greek government, and I'm not making a moral judgment on the Greek government when I say this. I'm saying rogue as in no longer conforming to the rules or the terms set by the European Union. And you have then have a situation where the European Union proceeds to attempt to kick Greece out of the Euro, where there's no legal mechanism for doing that, essentially. I'm saying that's an option which is not beyond the realms of possibility, which sees the whole house of cards across Europe collapse. So the stakes in this vote are really high, and they're really high for Europe. If I was Greek, John, I have to say, I would, with some reluctance, vote yes. I mean, obviously, I have no love whatsoever for the Greek government or its ideology. I have even less love, I have to say, for the way the European institutions are behaving in this in this whole situation.
Couldn't it be said, John, that whatever criticism people have of Syriza and Tsipras and so forth and the government that's in place, they've really stuck it to the Europeans, haven't they? They've pretty much said, look, enough is enough, and we're not going to take your crap anymore, and you know what? We're going to push back against you, and Europe, you can't have it all your own way like you've had for so long.
You know, there are arguments, and there are very good arguments, as we said, on both sides of that, in that you know, I'll put the counter argument just for a moment in that the Europeans can very reasonably say, well, hold on a second, you know, we understand that you're in difficulty, etc., but you do owe us, you know, hundreds of billions of euros that were essentially handed over to you by German, French, British, Irish, and so on taxpayers, and we need to get those back. And we need to see you making efforts to pay them back. So that's a reasonable and sensible position by the European institutions. And the Greek position, which is, you know, that they can't suffer anymore, is defensible, but I think less defensible when you look at their pensions and you look at the fact that their retirement age is in the middle 50s, where in countries that are handing this money over to them, it's in the 60s. So, I mean, I think there's arguments on both sides of that. What I would say in relation to the way the European institutions have conducted themselves in relation to this is that, you know, I think we are long past the point where serious reforms of the way the Eurozone itself works need to be looked at. I think the problem for the European institutions, and where they're at grievous fault, I have to say, is in a complete failure to recognise or to propose anything to address the fact that Greece is in this problem, I would say 50% because of terrible decisions by Greek government, but 50% because of the structure of the euro as a currency is completely disastrous.
In what respect? Explain that to me, John. Why do you say the structure of the euro is disastrous?
Because of the nature of economies and the way they're cyclical, governments have two tools of policy. They have fiscal policy. In other words, they can speed up or slow down an economy by reducing and lowering taxes, pumping taxes in by pumping money in by cutting taxes, taking money out by increasing taxes. So, for example, Ireland during the boom used low stamp duty to fuel the property bubble, which was disastrous. But they also have another tool, which is interest rates. And interest rates basically mean it's more expensive or less expensive to borrow money. Now, for the last, for the decade after the euro was constructed, because the German economy was in recession and the ECB is in Frankfurt, interest rates were rock bottom to try and encourage borrowing in Germany. But they also encouraged reckless borrowing in Greece and Ireland and other places where the economy was going relatively well at those times. Basically, encouraging those economies, rather than putting the brakes on and being prudent, to load themselves up with debt. Now, when you have a situation where there's no unified central policy to regulate the various economies inside the Eurozone and you've one currency and one interest rate, then you have a situation where the whole thing will career out of control eventually. And that's what happened in Ireland, it's what happened in Spain and Italy and Greece. And the fact that that has not been acknowledged, and that we have the same structures for the European currency today as we had in 2008, I think is a catastrophic indictment of leadership in Europe and of their response to the crisis, because this cannot happen again. But at the moment, it's bound to happen again.
And has this shown that the British were right to stay out of the euro and stick with sterling?
Oh, absolutely they were. I mean, I don't think that there's a euro enthusiast anywhere in the world who could say with a straight face that Britain would be better off today if it was in the euro?
It has been argued in recent years that they would be, but they've probably proved their point that they're right, and possibly now could we see Britain choosing to exit?
Well, I don't know if they'll. That's a separate debate, really. But I think certainly that.
The point I'm making, though, what's happening with Greece at the moment, would it make the British people think again and say maybe we're better off out of this?
Well, I think the problem that Europe has centrally is one where nobody likes it. I mean, there is nobody left on the continent of Europe, apart from people who work in Brussels and certain political classes in certain national capitals who want jobs in Brussels, who has any affection for the European Union. I mean, it's widely regarded as just an entity in Brussels that is, at best, a trading arrangement and, at worst, an undemocratic tyranny. And that's a problem for Europe. And while that continues, we are going to see situations, maybe not as disastrous as this Greek one, but you're going to see that continuing again and again, John. And, you know, what you're seeing today in Brussels is essentially two groups of people fighting on the streets. One group who think that it's too risky to stand up to Brussels, and another group who have said we've had enough. And now, whether you agree with them on the policy or not, I mean, this is not really a fight in the streets of Athens that's about policy, it's about emotion. You look at the posters in the Greek campaign, it's not, the no posters aren't, you know, making coherent economic arguments, and neither are the yes posters. Hmm. The no posters are showing people, you know, kicking Angela Merkel with a cartoon boot, and the yes posters are saying, you know, vote to save yourself. There's nobody there who says, you know, our European partners are trying to be good to us and do the best for us, so we should support them. And that's a huge political problem, economic tone-type.
And why is there such a love affair with the Europe project or the European model in Ireland, particularly in Fine Gael, who have long been strong proponents of the whole European project?
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, it is important, and anyone who's Eurocritical, and I would be Eurocritical as well as Eurosceptic, would have to admit the successes Europe had in the beginning. I mean, it did bind the continent together economically. We had significant gains out of it. And you know, there's an awful lot of people who believe that if Ireland had never entered the European Union in 1973, we'd be worse off today.
But John, what you have there is, at the beginning, a nation will be a net benefactor, but then they become a net contributor as time goes on.
Absolutely. Look, as I said, I mean, my position on this is I think on balance, entering the European Union was the right thing to do then. And I think a lot of the feeling, you asked what the pro-European feeling was about, I think a lot of that is just an attachment to that success. But the problem is that you have to judge an entity by how it's performing today.
Mm.
I mean, in politics, you won't get very far as a politician by saying, you know, I know we've ruined. I mean, if Brian Cowan had in the 2011 election turned around and said, yeah, but we did great things in 1997, I don't think he would have gotten very far. And I think that's the problem with people who are pro-European. They keep looking at past successes and saying, but look, it's brilliant. The pro-European sentiment in Ireland, I think, was widely shared up to about the first Nice Treaty referendum. And I think ever since we were made vote a second time on that, you know, Ireland's relationship with Europe has soured from being one of genuine affection to one of tolerance to now one of very bare tolerance. I don't think there's anybody left in this country who's particularly genuinely enthusiastic about the Brussels of today. And as I said a few minutes ago, I think that's reflective of the entire continent of Europe, and that is a huge existential problem to the European Union. And unless it's addressed by serious and major reforms, including, in my view, possibly the abolition of the single currency, it's going to continue and it's going to get worse.
Okay, finally, John, what's your prediction for Sunday? How do you think the referendum is going to pan out, and what will we see happen afterwards?
I think that the Greeks will vote yes. I think they will defy Cyprus.
There's nothing in the opinion polls at the moment, so you think the tide is going to move towards the S side out of fear?
I think it will be European leaders will jump for joy and say this is a tremendous victory in both conferences in Europe. In reality, it will be the fact that there are people over there like you and me, John, who have, you know, last week's wages sitting in the bank and can't get them, and that's terrifying them. And I think they'll figure that their best way of getting that money back, it's no longer a matter of ideology or love or respect or ideas, or it'll be people saying, I have a few bob in the bank, I'm terrified of losing it, the best bet is to vote yes. I think in terms of the aftermath, I don't see how Tsipras' position will be tenable. He has said he'll resign.
It'll be the end of Syriza, and then Europe gets what it wants. They get rid of the man that they've torn in their foot.
I think that is probably exactly what will happen, John. And I'll tell you something, though. Anyone in Brussels who celebrates that outcome is an absolute fool, because whether it is the reality or whether it is just the perception,
it will be the perception, though, won't it, John?
It will be the perception, I think. It will be another story to add grist to the mill of the idea that Europe might be a result of a vote. It engineers a situation so that you've no choice but to reverse it.
And again, that will be seen as a massive affront to democracy, because you've got a democratically elected leader who, in essence, Europe didn't want him in place, and they managed to get him out.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's how it will be read, and I think it's a disaster. I think if you're pro-European, John, I think what's going on at the moment is an abject, utter, and complete disaster. A failure of European diplomacy, a failure of European economics, a failure of European governance, and an absolute catastrophic failure of what the European idea was supposed to be. And unless this serves as a wake-up call, it'll happen again. The problem is that I make one final prediction, and that will be that there will be a yes vote on Sunday, and that on Monday, Jean-Claude Juncker will call a press conference in Brussels and appear triumphant and smiling and say it's a great victory for Europe. And until people like Jean-Claude Juncker are removed from power and actual reformers are put in place, Europe is on the fast track to death.
Okay.
Political and economic death.
John McGuirk, many thanks for joining us on the programme, and we'll talk to you again next week. Well, that's all we've got time for. If you want to check us out, you can check our Twitter, @TheArenaIreland. That's @TheArenaIreland. You can email us, TheArenaIreland@gmail.com. My thanks to Johnny Fallon and John McGuirk, who were on with us earlier on in the programme. That's it from me, John O'Donovan. Thanks to the team, John Hand, Pat O'Brannock, and producer Alan Oliver.